Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 55. I am Jeff, joined by Chris.
Yep, that's me.
Continuing our horror-themed month of October, this week we're going to do current horror films, and we're defining that as movies that have come out since 2010 to the present. And these are just our favorite picks from the last 5 years or so. So, Chris, kick it off. What do you got?
Let's see. I don't have these in any sort of order.
Alright.
I guess I do have them in some sort of order. The first one I have here is Insidious.
Nice.
2011, I believe. Story about, it's Patrick Wilson and some other chick, it's his wife. Their son basically goes into like a coma type thing, and they're not really sure what's wrong with him. And it turns out he's like dropped into this kind of like dream state area where souls are coming and trying to take over his body. So they've lured his soul away, and they're trying to take over his body, and it's just this kind of like interesting ghost type story, like that actually has a couple good scares in it. But I think mostly like the story was actually just interesting, the mystery behind it, the kind of the history leading up to it. They've done two sequels. I was not thrilled with Insidious 2. And I have not seen Insidious 3 just came out this year. I have not seen that. The other thing I think is what the hell's his name? He just directed Fast
James
and
Furious.
Wan. Yeah, James Wan, who was of Saw fame. He directed this. It was kind of like his return to mainstream horror, and I thought it was really well done. Like it doesn't have the Saw-ness going on. It's not a gory film. It's just a straightforward horror story. But
yeah,
did a good job with it.
It was I liked that movie too, and it was refreshing at the time because Saw had set a trend in horror films, and this was like the first movie in a while it felt like that broke that trend, where it was just going back to just being scary, not needing
just telling a scary story. Like
yeah. Plus, it had that sweet tiptoe through the tulips, I remember.
Yes.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
Yeah. Lee Wannell, who also was part of Saw, he was James Wan's partner, and I believe one of the producers on like the rest of the Saw franchise for a long time. He wrote it, and thought they came through really well.
I do also remember loving like the ending when Patrick Wilson goes into the dream world.
Yep.
And it's just like super bizarre. And that actually, that like part was referenced in the Nightmare, which we talked about last week. All right. Anyway,
what do you got?
My first one is one that I think you're going to appreciate. It's Frozen, not the Disney one, 2010 film.
So we're not talking about Elsa and Anna here.
No.
Talking snowmen and.
Which I hear is a good movie, but I have not seen that one myself.
So it's a good time.
I'm talking about the Frozen that I love, though, which is 2010. It's directed by Adam Green, who did the Hatchet series.
Okay.
Very simple story here. Three college kids get stuck on a ski lift, and they die, essentially. Spoilers. No, this is another one, too, is like Adam Green had done these Hatchet movies, which were like homages to like 80s slasher, and Frozen is like a very grounded in reality type of horror that I think didn't get the attention it deserved. I remember back when this came out, I think it was your review or whatever, like, is what made me pay attention to it and rent it, and it quickly became one of my favorites. I actually watched it again this year. I still think it's awesome. I know some people have some problems with it, that they think it's slightly unrealistic, but
sure. Isn't a lot of horror slightly unrealistic? Like what makes Frozen good is that it's believable enough.
that's the thing. And then, like, to me, like, I don't know enough about like wilderness or any of that stuff. I've never skied in my life, so you could tell me anything. You could tell me there's like fucking snowmen up there, like abominable snowmen, and I'd be like, yeah, okay. But no, it's just, I mean, despite the fact that might be a little far-fetched, it's grounded in reality. All it is these kids get stuck on a ski lift, they close down a resort while they're up there, and they're just stuck hanging there and have to figure out a way to survive or get themselves down. And the thing I really liked about the movie is at first the characters come off as pretty generic, but since it's just three of them and they're sitting in a chair for an hour and a half, it feels like you get to know them, and it makes it that more, kind of sad when things start to fall apart for them. So I think this is a little gem that's been overlooked for the last 5 years. So.
Yeah, I really like it. I've heard the arguments against it, and people are like, "Oh, well, there aren't wolves in that part of Massachusetts."
Who cares?
Like, but it's something that's believable enough. Like, all right, if you want to pin it down to this exact area, fine, sure. There's no wolves there, but there are wolves in other places where you may go skiing. And like, I mean, this was being closed down for like what, the week or something, right? Like, it was like, they wouldn't be coming back until the weekend, so these people would have been stuck on this thing for 5 days. And I don't know, like, I've gone skiing before, and even just getting stuck, like when they stop the ski lift, it's a terrifying experience. Like, because hey, why aren't we moving? Like, you don't know, like, you don't know what's going on. And just the idea of like, all right, now we're stuck, and oh shit, like the lights have gone out and everyone has left. Like, I would be freaked out too. It was like really kind of creepy, so.
And outside of the wolves, like I could kind of see a lot of that happening. I mean, I don't know how they account for people out still skiing or whatever, but they sold it enough to me where it was
I,
like.
yeah, I mean, I've gone skiing numerous times, and I don't know how they account for people going out skiing, 'cause like, there's no, hey, like, check on these people. Like, I mean, they have, sometimes kids running these lifts. Like, they're not, like, and teenagers aren't always the, most attentive people. So you may not see somebody have gotten on a lift, like, because you were texting on your phone or something and you weren't really paying attention. And maybe you didn't call down and say, hey, did those people ever get down to the bottom of the hill or whatever, so.
And they do kind of explain it in the movie because like these kids are not accounted for. They got in by bribing the guy that runs the lift.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if you remember that, but like so they kind of set it up in a way where you're like, oh, I can see that. And then
Right.
once it happens, you're
Like,
like,
yeah,
oh,
that
man.
was all set up like he had closed it down, and they kind of like talked their way back onto it to go one more time, and then he like left, and like another guy came in to close shop up for
Yeah,
him, and he
it was
didn't tell
closing
them.
time. Yeah, exactly.
So
So, yeah, I mean, believable or not, I think it's one of those overlooked movies and underrated.
it's a good time.
Yeah. Anyways, what you got next, clear, Chris?
So this one, I mean, it's technically in the horror family. Although I think some people would probably consider it a
Fringe?
not fringe. They might consider it more like comedy at work.
Uh-oh. Oh, I know what's coming.
But The Cabin in the Woods.
Called it.
Like, it starts out as a very traditional kind of like kids going off to the woods, almost kind of similarly to Until Dawn in a lot of ways, like where it's, these kids are going to a cabin, strange shit starts happening. There's this other weird twist though, where there are like these scientists, and they are trying to prevent the apocalypse or whatever from happening, and it's all scientifically organized, and there's multiple cabins in the woods across maybe not cabins, but there's multiple areas where the sacrifices are being handled, and that all that stuff is hysterical. Like, they're taking bets on like what kind of what the monster will be that kills the people, and who's the first one to go, and then the end is just complete and utter mayhem. It's a ton of fun. think it's a really fun movie.
Yeah, I'm weird about that movie. Like, I like it, but I think I went in with different expectations. I think I went in not knowing what it was gonna be.
Oh, I did too. Yeah, like I totally went because the trailers sell it as maybe not sell it as a straight traditional, you know, kids go to the woods horror film. Like there was hints of like sci-fi. You kind of knew that like maybe there was something going on because I think in the trailer they show that there's like the barrier, like the bird
Yeah.
flies into it, but you don't get that whole like other angle at all until the movie kind of kicks off.
Yeah, I think I went in expecting it to be like I don't know, like based on not even reviews, but just like ads that would have critics' quotes, and I'm like, oh, this is the fucking next big thing in horror, when it's really kind of more of like a send up, like kind of
I
poking
don't.
fun at the whole genre and
Yes, it's more of like it kind of like it pokes holes in a lot of the different tropes of horror, and like that's what makes it fun is that it takes those tropes, it uses them, and then it pokes holes in them all the way across.
I do remember though the last like 20 minutes or so just being
It's
batshit
crazy.
crazy.
It's
Like,
so
and I,
nuts.
the funny thing is, I bought that on Blu-ray like earlier this year, and it's still in its wrapping. Like, I need to bust that out and watch it again because I just remember it just being, it's just like anything you remember from any horror movie just thrown onto the screen
Oh
in the
yeah,
last.
I mean, I think at one point, like they're coming down the elevator, and you kind of see the different monsters that they have in boxes, and there's like licensed monsters. I don't know if they're licensed to the production company that did Cabin in the Woods, but like Pinhead is in one of them, and like the Mummy is in like so you see like these iconic monsters kind of in there. They're not given any bit of part. You just see them as you come down. And then a giant python and fucking unicorn. Like it's nuts. It's crazy. I love it. What do
All
you
right.
got next?
Switching gears a lot here. This is one that probably should have been on last episode, but I just thought of it tonight. This is Snowtown Murders from 2011. It's an Australian crime film, kind of,
Yeah.
about a real series of serial killings in Australia. So it's, what's even worse is it's based on a true story, but so it's not your typical, there's no monsters, nothing paranormal, whatever. It's about a serial killer, but it is profoundly disturbing. It has a like slow start to it, and it might take you a little while to get into it, but it's very well done, very well acted, and like I said, just it's about this guy who kind of invades this family and, you know, lets them kind of him kind of live with them and kind of infect their, you know, all their family and friends, and gets parts of the family to help him commit murders, which I do believe, I remember reading about it, the actual crimes at the time, like there's some truth to that, like that's not made up. So, but like, yeah, for real though, like if you have a weak stomach, if you're easily like creeped out or just can't handle material like that, I mean, this is, it kind of reminds me of like Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, where it's just like really, really disturbing, but it makes that look like a kid's movie. I can't remember if you saw this one,
I did.
Chris.
I did not
Yeah.
like it as much as you, but it is a disturbing movie.
It's a tough one. It's a hard one. There's scenes that are just really, really hard to watch, which to me, I think kind of tips it over into the horror category a little bit. Just, it's rough. It's brutal. It's a brutal fucking movie. I'm not overselling that part, I don't think. So yeah, I don't know. That's, I felt like it bumped some other title out of my list here, but it's one that I think is still on Netflix as well. Because I remember making my girlfriend watch it last year, and she's like, "What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why would you ever watch that?" I was like, "I don't know. I wanted to see how you'd handle
Like are you good?
it."
All right, my next one is also another kind of a different take on horror that subverts the genre in many ways. I'm also by a director that you mentioned last week, Adam Wingard.
Yeah.
You're next.
Nice.
And it's pure fun. Like,
Yeah.
it's a slasher film, like a home invasion slasher movie, but there's a twist, and the ending is so kind of like unexpected. I don't really want to, like, get. I don't want to spoil things for people
No,
because,
no,
like, you
no.
really should, and the twist is fun. But I remember, like, seeing the trailers for it and going, this looks okay. Like, it's a little bit
Yeah.
generic. Like, the guys are wearing wolf masks, and it's like, I don't know about this. But it kicks off. It has some really smart and witty dialogue. The characters are enjoyable. The kills are gruesome. And yeah, that twist at the end is a ton of fun. So I think you should definitely, if you're kind of like into subverting horror standards, give it a go. Also, in you might find this interesting, Jeff, Adam Wingard has been announced as the director for the American remake of I Saw the Devil.
Wow. And that, you know what? That's another picture that almost made my list tonight.
Yeah, almost on mine too. It did not make it, but it almost did. I wasn't really sure, like, where it would place. Like, I mean, I guess it is horror, but it's also might almost be on like that fringe horror list too.
No, that's what I was thinking too. And I was like, well, I can't have two fringe horrors on
Yeah.
this list. So we did fringe horror last week. So, it's a movie that I don't think needs a remake.
No,
Damn,
I think
if I'm
that
not,
works. I'll watch it though.
I am really interested to see what he does with it, because that guy is two for two, at least for me. I don't know if he's done anything else besides Your Next or The Guest, but
He actually has like done like he's honestly like I mean in terms of large films I don't really know, but he's done a segment in VHS and VHS 2.
yeah.
He's done a segment in the ABCs of Death, so he's done some horror stuff previously to just Your Next and The Guest.
Yeah, well, I mean, VHS though, like they throw everyone in. They fucking had, I think, Eduardo Sanchez do one of the shorts in VHS. So, not to discredit him at all. It's just something else funny about Your Next is I remember I was comparing Adam Weingard or Wingard, whatever, with Ty West last week. Ty West is in Your Next. He's
Oh, really?
the boyfriend guy who's a documentary filmmaker,
Ah, yes,
and they're like
Tariq.
asking him, yeah, that's Ty West. So I was right in saying that they're friends, and because I noticed they kind of cast the same people, and I'm guessing they're close. But in my opinion, Ty West is not quite as good as Weingard so far. But yeah, I agree with you 100%, and it's really funny because the next movie on my list was Your Next. I just remember, like you said, when it was coming out, I remember like talking to you about it. Like, it looks kind of cool, but it was like it looked like an average slasher movie that was like take it or leave it, easy to skip. And so I did skip it all the way until last year when I think it was streaming on Netflix, and I was like, I'll give it a shot. And wow, was I blown away! I was like, this is just incredibly fun. This is like just reinvigorating that whole like slasher genre with just like good writing, good characters, a good twist, So yeah, I guess I don't have much more saying about it except I agree with you 100% on Your Next. I mean, that's a it's needs to more people need to see it, I think.
Well, speaking of Ty West,
Here we go.
the next one on mine is The Sacrament.
Ooh, this almost made my list as well.
It's it's about this cult leader who it's a I guess we should say it's kind of like documentary style found footage type shot movie,
Yeah.
where this group of they're kind of like vice reporters. They're going to look at this cult where one of the reporters' sister is kind of gone, and they go and meet with this pastor who's called the father, and it's on this compound. You have to like fly in by helicopter, and it's a nutty, batty film that really kind of looks at like it looks at religion and cultism really deep, dark way that like a lot of films just don't do. And it's a disturbing movie. Like,
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. We talked about Ty West before. I am not like a huge fan of The House of the Devil or The Innkeepers. That he's done both of those movies, but this one really kind of like hit me off. And I think the reason it's another one where Eli Roth kind of like he pr produced this movie. He presented this movie, and that's what got
Yeah.
me to go see it. But it's a messed up movie.
I think what, a lot of what makes it work is the cast.
Yeah.
It also it like one of the main guys is in it is from Your Next. AJ Bowen is the actor's name, I want to say. He's one of the main guys in it. And then also the cult leader.
He's very good.
Yeah, he it almost feels like he's channeling John Goodman or something. I don't know.
Well, it's almost when I first saw like the kind of like the poster, it kind of looked like John Goodman.
That's the thing. But he's very good, like very charismatic, and you could kind of see why people are prone to falling into these traps
Yeah,
would
where they
fall
would
for.
follow him, and like he has a message that like you want to believe in, but then it all turns really, really bad.
You know, and there's some great scenes in it. Like there's a scene where it's pretty like prolonged scene where they sit down for an interview with the guy in front of all of his followers and everything. And at the end of the interview, like the two camera guys turn to each other, like, did he answer any of the questions we
Yeah,
just
no,
asked?
it's like it's exactly what you get when you talk
Yeah,
to
we talked to those
these
people.
type of people.
Yeah.
It's they it comes off as very charismatic, and you're like, yeah, this is great, this is fantastic. But then when you actually think, they didn't answer shit. Like, he's just like a creepy politician.
Yeah, I was
Like,
gonna say it's very much like a politician where they'll take your question and just spin it into what they wanted to say in the first place.
right.
And then, I mean, I don't want to give away too much about this, but like the ending, it was like, I'm like, are they gonna go for this? Oh, they're gonna go for this.
Yeah,
Like, oh, holy shit!
they totally go like
Kind of where you think it's gonna go, but you're
yeah.
like, it's really gonna go there. No, this is really happening. Holy shit!
So I mean, I am not like huge into Ty West and his other stuff, but he does a great job with this kind of found footage film here, so.
No, I agree completely. Like, I didn't really. I watched The House of the Devil recently, and I liked the aesthetic of it, but it was just a bore, I
Ooh,
thought.
yeah, that's a movie that I watched and like I'm like, hey, this is great, this is great, this is great, and then it was 90 minutes into it and nothing had happened. Like, it's really her just like the music is fantastic,
Yeah.
the visual style is fantastic, but nothing happens until like the last 10 minutes of the movie, and it's not enough of a payoff.
Exactly. It doesn't like yeah. By the time stuff happens, one, you're already might be asleep.
Right.
And when it does, like when the shit does kind of hit the fan, it's like you said, it's not enough of a payoff. It's not good enough. But that was a good sign of like there's this guy that might have some chops, and let's see what he does with the genre.
Yeah.
And The Sacrament, like I don't think it's amazing, but it's definitely out of like the last 5 years, it's definitely one to check out for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of like found footage horror, which has been so much dominated by like Paranormal Activity and like those types of films. This is in that genre, but it plays very interestingly off of it, and it's something unique.
Does it, without spoiling it, does it like avoid the usual found footage ending where the camera falls? You're just like, okay. I think it actually has an ending.
Yeah, well, I think that the guy actually does the one does
Yeah.
get away.
Yeah, I
Like
think so.
the
Like,
I'd have to, and like this is bad, we're talking about this movie and I probably should know the fucking ending. It's like but I do
no, I
remember,
want to say
I'm
you're
pretty
right.
sure that he gets away, and that's like how this kind of works, is that like this is, hey, we've released this
This is
shit, like,
their Vice report.
yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like I said, I think it's still on Netflix. Like if you're a horror fan, definitely check it out.
Yeah,
Like
give
it's
it a
good.
go.
Also, I believe still on Netflix, and this is a great film, is The Babadook.
I need to watch that.
Oh my. All right. Well, I won't spoil it, I hope. But it's a 2014 film written, directed by someone named Jennifer Kent. I don't know what else she's done. And I want to say it's Australian also, which they've been on a roll with crime and horror movies for like the last 5 years. This is a very, I think, very, very scary movie. It's about a mother and her son. They're living alone in a house after the father dies in a car accident. And the kid has all sorts of behavioral problems. And he begins to see like a creature in his room, not unlike the nightmare that he calls the Babadook. They actually find a book in the house that's called the Babadook, and it's all about like this creepy guy that'll come at you when you're in your bed at night. And you know, the mom is convinced that the son has problems, and he's convinced that there really is a monster in their house and it's coming to get them. So you're kind of typical like haunted house, family in a haunted house type deal a little bit. But it starts to get really scary as it goes on because you start to wonder whether is this thing real or are both the mom and the son fucking crazy? And you could see how, because they're dealing with grief and, you know, they never really dealt with certain things, how it could just be, you know, it's kind of all in their heads. And it gets really scary on that point where, like, the kid's ideas start to infect the mom's thoughts. And she, I think, starts to believe that the thing is in there. And she becomes dangerous to her son. And that is where it gets really creepy, really terrifying. It is one of the scariest movies I've seen in the last 5 years for sure. And it's really, really well done. It's a cut above your normal horror movie. So I hope I didn't spoil it at all right there, but it is kind of like a, you know, is this real or is this in their heads type thing? And I think that's what makes it scarier. So I can't believe you haven't seen that yet, dude.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying watch it, watch it, watch it, and just haven't sat down to watch it. I haven't sat down and watched anything really on Netflix, but I will. I will add that to my list of things I need to get to.
Yeah, I think you're in for a treat. I think you're really gonna like it.
Okay, so I am going to. I'm hoping that your last film is the film that I was going to talk about here. So I'm going to skip that one.
Okay.
I'm gonna say another horror comedy here. Last year, Kevin Smith kind of made a return to movies, and he did it. But like, I don't know if you listen to his podcast that he
No,
does.
I need to start listening to it though.
Yeah, it's the podcast that Smodcast that he does with Scott
Yes.
Mosier, his longtime producer and writing partner. They came up with this idea, like they just do these bits, and the show is hysterical, by the way, like often very, very funny. They came up with this bit about like a guy rooming and being turned into a walrus.
It was based off like a Craigslist ad or some shit,
Yeah,
wasn't it?
yeah,
Yeah.
and so like he took this like 5 minute bit from their podcast, and he turned it into like a full on horror film. And it's surprisingly, like, it has problems, but it is surprisingly good. I really like it. It's nuts. It's nutty, but it has that Kevin Smith feel that like Red State didn't have. It has that dialogue. It has that like kind of cutting sarcasm to a lot of it, and a lot of it is from like the performances by Michael Parks, who plays like the crazy dude that wants to turn Justin Long into a fucking walrus.
Yeah.
And then like that stuff, the interaction between Parks and Long is fantastic all throughout the film. There's some other weird stuff where like Genesis Rodriguez and Haley Joel Osment are trying to look for, you know, Justin Long's character, and they enlist Johnny Depp, which is just fucking weird.
That was weird. I mean, not that, you know, the whole rest of the movie is weird, but that was really
Yeah,
weird.
just like Johnny Depp comes out of nowhere, and like I love Johnny Depp's performance in it. He's crazy, but it doesn't really fit with the movie. But I love what Smith went for. I think for the most part he succeeds. I think it's a really funny movie, and also slightly horrifying at points. So I think he mostly succeeds there.
Yeah, it is kind of scary, actually. I mean, it's dumb, and it's. But I think what separates it from Red State, and Red State also had Michael Parks, who was really good in it. But I think what separates it is it's just Kevin Smith having fun, and he gives zero shits, like whether anyone else likes this. This is just because him, Scott Mosier, thought it was fucking funny.
Red State was like a, it was kind of like he kicked back against the establishment and didn't like want to, he didn't want to make movies the way they were made anymore, and it didn't seem like a fun Kevin Smith movie, but this one just totally like he was having fun again, and it has a lot of those same touches that his early films do.
Yeah, it's problematic, and I like I said, I can't sit here and say it's a good movie, but one, because I'm a Kevin Smith fan, and two, because it's so fucking out there. A guy wants to turn someone into a walrus, like Red State was like political, and it was kind of based on like these real like kind of like gun nuts and these religious people. Like this is just based off of fucking two guys that are like high off their ass going. I don't know if they're high when they do the podcast, but he had to be smoking
Yeah,
weed when he wrote the script.
he is often high when he does the
Yeah.
podcast.
And it's funny too, I think in the credits or something, like the
They
end
play the
credits, they
bit,
play
yeah.
it, like, yeah, like them coming up with it. And it's just really fun to think that, like, it's like something, it's like one of those things where you're sitting with a friend and go, oh, that would be a really fun movie. And the next day you're like, that's stupid. Instead, he was just like, no, dude, let's do that. Let's
Yeah,
make a
well, and like
90-minute movie.
there's another bit to that story too. Is like, I mean, he does this podcast, but he like threw it out on Twitter and was like, he kind of like, hey, we came up with this dumb idea on the podcast to make a movie about a dude turning into a walrus. Would you guys want me to make that into a movie? Walrus yes for yes, walrus no for no. And he got like an overwhelming response of like walrus yes. Like it is twi and like that's kind of what pushed him, that gave him the motivation to do this, and it's actually given him the motivation to keep making movies and
Kickstarted
do
his
so.
career,
Yeah, it's
like,
like, I mean, now he's doing these weird, like, he's calling it his Canadian trilogy, and it's like these weird horror films. I believe his next film is called Yoga Hosers, also based on like kind of something that came up on that podcast, and the film after that is going to be called Moose Jaws. But it's all these like weird Canadian, like he has this weird fascination with Canada, and it's I yes, there are issues, but if you like Kevin Smith, you should watch Tusk.
Yeah, I'm so happy he didn't retire. Like, I
Yeah.
just, and like I said, it seems to have sparked creativity in him where he's like, oh, you can make a movie about anything. He's doing those movies. And then also, like, I remember, like, right after Tusk came out, he's like, guess what? We got all that Tusk money. You're getting Clerks 3. So he's doing that as well. And
And
fuck.
Mallrats too. Like
Yeah, like, dude, he's got like five movies
he
in
has like th
production.
this is a guy who like really seemed burnt out after like Clerks 2 came out, and he was really just fed up with making movies and being creative and like just the pressure of making movies, and he's like, hey, fuck you. I want to make movies. I make them for myself. My fans like them, whether we make a lot of money or not, like I'm gonna do this shit, so
It's almost like he's going back to his attitude from when he made his first
yeah,
movie,
when he made
where it's like,
Clerks, yeah.
just do it yourself and you'll find your audience. And, if it's a small enough budget, you're gonna make your money.
And that's the thing, he's always like, I mean, outside of maybe Mallrats, which probably has made its money back at this point, but like every other film he's ever made, I think has made money. Like
Yeah, it was just weird. Like, you would think you could bank on this guy, like, just limit his budget. And he know, like, I think he does better with a smaller
Yeah,
budget,
because
too.
they gave him that one. Actually, it wasn't after Clerks 2 that he kind of burned out. It was the one he did with Bruce Willis and what's
Which
his
isn't
name?
his fault, Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, Tracy Morgan. Like, I mean, that wasn't his movie. Like, yeah, he came out of that with such like an attitude of like, I fucking hate making movies that cop out.
Yeah, I hated that movie as well, but like I could never blame him for that. That was
No,
just a
it wasn't
cop,
his fault. It's just it
Yeah.
was a bad movie. Like,
Yeah.
and it wasn't his fault. Like, it was just like it was a bad movie.
That goes to show him as well, like, you need to make your movie. Like, he needs to
Yeah,
make movies, Kevin Smith movies,
he
like.
needs to write his movies. Like,
Yeah. Maybe not edit them, but he can
no,
write
like
them.
that's he might need an editor, but
Here's what I do like though now, like, even with Tusk, where it's smaller budget and him just doing whatever the fuck he wants, like, he is definitely a much more accomplished filmmaker than he was even back in the Dogma days. Like, his movies feel like movies now instead of just plopping a camera in front of two people, you know?
It's,
So.
I mean, we were, just this last weekend, we were kind of talking about Clerks 2 and that movie. Like, when you look at, like, you know, Mallrats and Chasing Amy and Dogma, there's something fascinating about the rawness of it, but they're broken films. Like, they don't look good. Clerks 2 is a fantastic looking movie, but it has, like, all that, you know, Kevin Smithness to it. Oh my God, there's so many good
It's
scenes in it too.
still my favorite film. I love Clerks 2. I need to get that on Blu-ray or something. Like, I don't own it at the moment, but I will fight with anyone on that. It's his best movie. So I'm hoping. I don't know what you do with Clerks 3 because it kind of like ended it with 2, but
Right, like it
we'll
kind of
see.
just went, we'll talk about that at some point. We'll
Yeah,
talk about Kevin Smith at some point else
for
later.
sure. All right. Well, I think you know what my final pick is going to be here, man.
I'm hoping it's this one, 'cause otherwise, like, we've made a egregious omission.
it's one of the best horror films of the probably last 20 years. It follows.
Yes.
Is that the one you're thinking? All
Yes,
right.
that's what I abstained from putting on
I
here.
remember when this came out and I went and saw it. I remember you were like, yeah, it was pretty good. And I was like, no, dude, this is fucking a classic. So I don't know if you're like thoughts on it have changed, but I've only grown stronger on it. Like, I really think this is a fantastic, like, it's a masterpiece of a horror film, except for one little thing. I do think that the climax is a little weak,
Yeah, I think that's what
but I love the
pulls it
final
down
shot,
for
dude.
me.
I love the final shot. Like, so as much as like the ending is problematic, I love the very end. Like, the very end when they're walking down the street and you're
Yes.
like, it's not over,
No,
you know.
yes. I'm totally, like, it's this, there is this, like, weird, it's not even weird, it's just, there's this 20-minute bit where they go to the school and they're at the pool, and it just drags the film down for me. Like,
But
everything
even
else is
then,
so good.
even at that moment, it's like this big showdown part, and then it's like these kids on an adventure. It feels like an 80s
Sure,
horror,
yes,
like
it does.
80s adventure movie. But it's just not up to the rest of the film, which is just fantastic. I think we should explain a little bit for people who haven't seen it. It's a movie about a sexually transmitted demon that will follow you.
Sounds so stupid, but it
It's a
works.
great idea, dude.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. It's all right. So if you're infected with this demon, it'll follow you and try to kill you. If you have sex with someone else, you pass that demon on to them. That's the whole premise of it. Your main character, who's played by Mayka Monroe, I think her name is. She was in The Guest. She's great.
Yeah.
She's sexy. Anyways, she has sex with this guy that she's interested in, and then he ties her up in a wheelchair and he explains to her what's going on, and it sets up the whole premise for movies. Like, this thing's gonna keep coming after you, and it could look like anybody. It could look like someone you know. It could look like someone you don't know, and it's gonna keep coming after you until it kills you, and it's gonna keep going down the line. So the only thing you could do is, you know, have sex with someone else. You pass the demon onto them and tell them to keep passing it down the line, which is in my opinion, a very original, awesome idea for a horror movie that kind of plays into like real life fears about sexually transmitted diseases and stuff like that. Great idea, and just it's a very fun, very inventive, like lots of like there's a couple sequences in the movie that I think are just great. There's one where they're like, you know, all the kids are hiding together in the house trying to protect this girl, and the thing, it gets in the house and it's just really creepy. There's another part where they're out on a beach and the thing comes and like it's chasing them all around, and like a really well done scene where like it pulls her by the hair and you know like they're shooting at it and stuff like that. I just yeah, like you said though, like I was saying, I think that the climax is a little disappointing considering how great the whole movie is, but I do think it kind of makes up for it with the last couple scenes following that. Like, I really love, and I don't know if you remember this, like she finally sleeps with the boy, the one boy who really likes her, and
Right.
he tries to pass, like, he's like, they don't explain this to you, but I think that he thinks that they might still have it, so he's going out and having sex with prostitutes to try to pass it along, which is like a great touch. And I don't, and then the very final shot, I just love, like, it just cemented the movie for me. Like, this is this guy, I can't wait to see what he does next. It's written, directed by David Robert Mitchell. I don't know if he's done anything else, but I cannot wait to see, like, anything he does, I'm in for, especially if it's horror. So I don't know if I took any of your thunder there, but...
No, I really enjoy that movie a lot. The music, the way it looks like an old-school kind of horror film. Like, and the soundtrack is phenomenal.
Yeah, the soundtrack, I forgot to touch on that. It's a band called Disaster Piece. They have done... Like, all their music kind of sounds like that outside of the movie.
Okay.
It's kind of like chiptune stuff. A lot of their like songs sound like video game titles, and they sound like they could be like an NES game.
Huh.
They actually did the music for Braid, I want to say.
Okay.
So yeah, they've been around, and but it was a great choice to choose them to do the soundtrack. It's along with The Guest, like my favorite soundtrack of the year. I used to listen to the soundtrack when I was out doing my routes. So I was like, this is fantastic, dude. The whole 40-minute soundtrack from front to back. Yeah, it's a great movie. Like, if you have not seen It Follows, you need to see It Follows.
Yeah.
Buy that shit right away.
I got one other one that we didn't, like, really kind of...
Sure.
That just didn't fit, but I guess we'll talk about it really quick. It's all currently on my top 10 for the year. It Follows is higher up, but yeah. Zombievers.
I haven't even heard of this.
It is you might be able to watch it on Netflix. It is a movie about zombie beavers. And it sounds stupid and it is dumb, but it is it's a lot of fun.
Is it called Zombievers?
Zombievers. Z O M B.
I thought you said zombie verse.
No.
Like zombie verse.
Zombievers. Like beavers. Z-O-M beavers. And it is about zombie beavers. Like, and it's so dumb. It's so absurd that I couldn't put it on my five here. But if you like kind of funny horror films, like this is one you should give a shot.
I think it was on Netflix.
It might still be there.
I don't know if it still is, but yeah, I just always avoided it because I thought it was one of those, I don't know, like really cheap, like whatever.
It's
might
like
be fun if you want a bad movie type thing.
It actively knows it's bad, and I think that's what makes it work. Like, it's not trying. It is. It's trying to be a bad movie, and it's not like, oh, it's. Like, we're trying to be a good movie, but we're actually really bad, and that's what makes it good. No, it's like they know they have a really low budget. They know they have a really stupid idea for a movie, and so they just kind of want to go with that. They hit all the tropes of like horror that you'd want in like a zombie movie or in a horror movie in general. So it's a lot of fun, and I brought that up because Jeff gave me free reign to pick our next topic, and I think we're going to go with horror comedy next week.
Straight horror comedy?
Oh, I mean, like, horror films with some comedic aspect to it.
Okay.
For sure. I know I had three that I just talked about here, but there's other ones out there that I think work, so.
This might be tough for me.
We'll see what we come up with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could come up with some, but it's one of those ones where I generally don't like horror comedy. You know,
they can be really bad. Like when, like I like when I kind of walk into one and it's surprising. Like, like Zombievers kind of looked dumb from the beginning, but the premise was so stupid I wanted to watch it, and it really was successful in hitting the notes. But there are other ones. I'm sure we'll talk about some of them, but like Shaun of the Dead, stuff like that. Like,
see, like that's a great example. That one like never clicked with me, and I know, I know everyone loves it. Like, I just I typically like my horror to be as dark and terrible as possible.
Okay.
We'll see what I come up with
Yeah,
on the first
well, I'll be interested to see what you do come up with.
Going to zombie beavers again. There's another one like that that I've seen people talk about, and I think it's on Netflix called Wolf Cop.
Huh.
Have you seen that?
I think I need to watch that. I've not seen that.
Yeah, okay. All right, I was wondering if you'd seen it. I've seen people say it's really good.
That's a fantastic name for a movie, though.
Yeah, Wolf Cop. It's like the cover is awesome. Like I almost bought it one time when I saw it at Best Buy, but I was like, this is probably awful.
Yeah,
But I've seen people since.
you should look up the cover for Zombievers. There's two. There's one that is a red and black cover. That is, it's a girl kind of like she's in a bikini. The bikini's in white and like she's silhouetted in black and she's jumping and the beaver is jumping at her crotch.
Nice.
It's fantastic.
For my list, one of the ones that didn't make the cut, but it was actually listed as number one, so it was in it follow spot, is Let Me In.
Okay.
You've seen that, right?
Yes.
There's a remake of the Swedish, Danish,
Oh,
I don't
yeah, I
know.
think it's Swedish. Let the right one in.
Yeah, that was just a really good kind of like a horror, like romance kind of deal with vampires, but like not Twilight, like good. So,
Right.
if you haven't seen that one, I see either version. I do think that the remake is actually a little bit better. I just like the cinematography in the remake. The cast is really good. It's like Chloe Moretz as the young girl, and her caretaker is played by someone from my hometown here, DeKalb, Illinois, Richard Jenkins, who just won himself an Emmy. I don't know. It's just a really good movie for a remake. Really surprising, but both the remake and the original are really good. So,
I guess before we close off here, did you watch American Horror Story this week? Or did you skip
no,
it?
I did not. I forgot what I was watching last night. It was last night, right?
It was, yeah.
I was watching something and I kept going, oh yeah, that was on.
It continues to get fucking weird. They kind of definitely go down the vampire route with Lady Gaga's character. Like
I heard it
she's
was really long,
it
like
is
longer than the first one.
it's it was it w went it started at 10 and ended at 11:42 and I was like Jesus, like,
They're giving him Kurt Sutter rein on that show now, where it's like, just do whatever
just do
you
what you
want.
want. Yeah, we were told by Brian though to watch another Ryan Murphy show, Scream Queens, which I don't think you've seen yet.
Well, what did you watch it on?
I watched it on demand,
Oh,
on
okay.
Fox, and it's like they're really getting close to where that first episode would be cut off. I watched that first episode though. It's really good.
Really? Why does Brian always have to be right? God damn it. It looks so dumb to me. It looks so dumb.
It did look really dumb, but it has some really smart writing, although you might not like it because it's kind of like that horror comedy type thing where it's just kind of playing with the tropes of horror. And it's the basic story is like a traditional slasher movie. There is, you know, this guy who's a devil, dressed as a devil, killing sorority girls.
Yeah.
And it's just funny the way this stuff happens and the dialogue and the stuff that they make them do, 'cause it's definitely you're poking fun at college life, at, you know, Greek life in general, and horror films. So like it was surprisingly fun. I found myself laughing out loud multiple times. So it's definitely worth a watch.
Well, hopefully I'll make that cutoff date because that's the only place I would watch it. Like,
Yeah,
yeah, I
I
don't know where
mean,
else I would watch it, but
unless you wait till probably it'll probably be next year, you know, it'll show up on Netflix or something. So
yeah.
it's definitely worth a go, so
Sweet, I'll check it out, I guess.
If you got some time. If the first episode is it's a double episode though, so I don't know what's with these shows and they're like, hey, we want to take 2 hours of your time.
Yeah, I just Well, it seems like with a lot of like the ones that get popular, like they just start to let the showrunner do whatever they want, like, which I think is to the detriment. Like, Sons of Anarchy was good, and it started to get worse as it went on because they let him do like these 2-hour episodes whenever he wanted. Like every week he started to do them, like no editing, no cutting of like the script, just do whatever you want. And I don't know.
I still have not seen the seventh season of that, so.
It's I don't know. I think that show as a whole was disappointing to me, but you might as well finish it up if you've gotten through six of them. Dear God, if you
Yeah.
missed that season three, you deserve to see how it ends up.
Season three is bad.
Oh, that
It's
was
really
so
bad.
bad.
That's for another episode though, so. I guess we're done, and we'll be back next week.
Horror comedies coming up.
Yep.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.